Life is sweet. Let it sweep you off your feet.
Hi, you're listening to Find Your Joy. If you're looking for ways to thrive rather than survive in a world that can seem rather chaotic, you're in the right place. We will be sharing stories of our own as well as those from guests who have found ways to bring hope, healing, and freedom into places where trauma has impacted them. I'm Allie, author of The Art of Healing Trauma, and I'm here to remind you that life is sweet. Now, let's dive in and find ways to create our joy.
Hi, this is Allie and Find Your Joy. And today we have a remarkable woman. Lynn Robinson is a teacher, a speaker, an NLP coach and certifier. She does Reiki. Lynn, when I try to read the things and see all the things that you do, and we have a mutual friend who's told me so much about you. First of all, thanks so much for taking time today to come and chat with us and tell a bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very grateful to be here.
Oh, thanks so much. What's coming to my mind right now. So I always just fly by that. Some people don't know what NLP is. I was introduced to it, I think it was in the 80s. I had a counselor, and I don't know if NLP was new then or just new to me, but it seemed like a rather new thing at the time. And she taught me a lot about that. And so neuro-linguistic programming, for those of us who don't know, maybe we'll start there and just explain maybe a little bit about what that is and how you got into it. Would that be okay?
That would be fine. So in terms of neuro-linguistic programming, so the neuro is our nervous system. So our brain and our mind-body connection, the nervous system. And linguistics obviously is the language we use to express our experiences. And then programming is the programs we run. A lot of people think that it's about programming others, but it's what are the programs that I'm running that get me what I want or get me what I don't want? And so it's the study of that. So through language. So as an example, if you were a client, I'm listening to how you describe your problem. I'm not listening to your story. I'm listening for limiting beliefs in there, for negative emotions in there, for anything that tells me how you've decided this is a problem, not the story.
Right. Because that's part of the deal, right? It's how we see it and experience it, more than the it.
Exactly, because you and I could be someplace, the same place. And if we went to chat to someone and described our experience, it would be so different that they could possibly not even know we were at the same place at the same time. Because we have these filters. See, this is when I really get excited. I love this. I've been doing it for so long, and I don't know how I can be so excited about it, but I really am. It's like we have these filters that we run every bit of our experience through, and it is about our memories and our beliefs and our experiences and our patterns, like all these things, and we delete things and we spin them around, and we're all so unique. But yeah, I just love it. And, you know, honestly, I present that piece in pretty much every presentation I have, my visuals and all of that. But
yes.
Do you know that most people honestly aren't aware of those filters and how literally our thoughts scientifically, neurologically, create our experiences. They play out in our results. And people, yes, we can say our thoughts create this, but that's on a very surface level. But when people realize, oh my gosh, this is like scientific, and this is how I do what I do, I just love it, because yeah, it changes people's lives, and easily and comfortably. So when you do this work, my experience of it anyway, so obviously this is my experience.
Yes.
It's not about working at changing. So if you were a private client and you come, the change happens here in my office, and you leave sincerely a different person. So And NLP is only a model. And so my specific trainer, he developed something called Timeline. And that process literally unhooks negative emotions at what we call the root cause, which means all that chain is gone, and right. also the beliefs. So there's two processes that every person who does or teaches NLP doesn't utilize. For me, every single client I work with, we have to do that first. Then we look at, what do you want?
So a timeline, now some NLP practitioners use it and some don't. Can you describe a little bit about how that might work?
Well, if it's too long, I'm fine if you want to interrupt me and cut me off. Because remember, I'm a teacher.
Well, that's okay. So, remember, I need lots of slow instruction.
Okay. So basically, let me see. So it's a process. So a lot of what I do is working with the unconscious mind. So I'm not really interested in what your logical mind tells me, because all of our memories and everything are stored unconsciously.
Right.
Okay. So I work with the unconscious mind when we do the clearing and, you know, the beginning, and then we can look at the logical mind when we figure out, what do you want to do? But in the meantime, it's with the unconscious mind. So based on that, it's about being in a relaxed state. So so one of the things I do with my clients is I have on my website, I have a free download for something. It's an audio called The Secret Garden for your health and well-being. So they have to listen to that first a couple of times, so they're used to my voice, so that by the time they come to see me, then they're just used to relaxing when they hear my voice. People joke that they hear my voice and they fall asleep. So that's when you're a speaker, I'm not sure that that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yes, it's really good.
So basically, it's about putting someone in a relaxed state and then just talking to the unconscious mind. And, you know, it sounds so simple when I share it, and the process is like so simple, but it works. It's like guiding them to what's the root cause of this particular emotion, as an example. So let's pretend it's anger. And so that root cause may be something that happened, like 0 to 7, as an example, is where the imprint period, they call it. Right. But it could, and this may sound really crazy, but it could happen in the womb as well. Because as we know, we take in everything. And that's why we now sing to babies in the womb and we read stories to the babies, right? Unfortunately, they get all the other stuff too. And so basically it's trusting the unconscious mind to know what the root cause is. And we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to know what it is. Sometimes it's just intuitive and off we go. So I guide them to that place. They stay way up in the air, which dissociates them. So they're not in the emotion. There's no emotion for that person in this process, which I really, really love, because it keeps them comfortable. Mm. And so we already know how to be uncomfortable. So I just love that we can do this work and keep them in a comfortable place. So they're way above and they just collect positive learnings. And when they have all the positive learnings, because the idea is that everything we experience, there's a positive learning behind it. We may not know what it is at the time.
Right. Okay.
But if we can figure that out or get that information, then that's how we unhook it. So that's a part of it. Then we test it, and then they, you know, the process. But that's the difference, is going back to that root cause, because we have a chain. So if somebody is really angry, like you might say a little innocent thing to someone and they just go crazy. They're so angry at what you said.
Right.
That's not because of what you said. It's because there's this chain of anger for every time they've experienced anger. Right. And you just set the chain off.
Right. And that makes sense. It's not the words, it's where it landed.
That's right. And what it meant to them. And so again, it's kind of a short version, but it's so simple. Like, honestly, after, I mean, I certify other people in it and so on. I've done it for so many years. I'm still in awe, honestly, of how people can heal and change comfortably. They don't have to revisit things, even trauma. There's a process within that process for trauma, you know. We've worked with people that, you know, have had major trauma in there. I don't do a lot of that because that's not what I don't feel I'm an expert in that.
Right.
And it's not my thing, but people have presented it to me and we've been able to help them like in such a short period of time. It's unbelievable. My daughter and I flew back to Ottawa at one time because her friend was going through a traumatic experience because her son was injured. And so we flew back there and sincerely in a couple of hours, the trauma was gone. I've got videos of it. It's like, and you know, it just, again, I could kind of go on and on. That's why you have to interrupt me because.
No, I like it because, you know, I mean, well, it's reminding me of so, I'm just like, it's everything always reminds me of something. That's kind of where I am. And so I often, when someone's talking, I there's a few things that are going on. I'm there and I'm listening. And then it's shooting things off in my mind and reminding me of certain events in my life and times, right, when me and I'm guessing other people, there's certain things I've experienced more difficult challenges or traumas. So a certain one might impact me and hang around for a long time. And then another time I was able to process it, clear it, file it away, burn the box. It was just gone. And like you said, I'm guessing there's, well, I'm wondering too, like, now I'm thinking out loud here. So,
good. So
like with anything, right? If depending, like, did I have enough sleep that day? Have I been walking regularly and getting fresh air? Have I been eating healthy? Did I eat sugar a little bit too much or at all lately? Did I do so? So I'm building a little scenario here, right? Where there's things where I'm not going to be at my best. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works for me. I need to kind of have a rather clean inside and out, or I, for whatever reason, it impacts me quite a bit how I process the world. So I wonder sometimes if it can have a lot to do with all of those things too, like how I don't know, even if a person, I don't really, well, I don't drink now, but if a person, you know, you could have a glass of wine one day and do nothing and a glass of wine another day, and it could make you like, woo, loopy. Is it sort of like that? Do you think that, is there physical things that are also going on that are differences, or do you think it's always linked backwards to a timeline thing?
That's, well, I guess my belief.
What I ate and walked and breathed was a timeline, but.
Well, so I think that everything is obviously interconnected. The thing is, when we heal at that, what I will call a root cause level, then your experience of your experiences are different because you are resourceful in a way that you couldn't have been resourceful in before. Because again, I don't know if this is too much information, but the idea, I mean, it's been proven in a test tube, in a lab, that our emotions reside within ourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
So they reside within ourselves. And so consequently, they're going to impact everything. And so just talking about something or looking at one scenario isn't going to heal it completely. And just doing physical things isn't going to do that either. So a kind of a crazy example, I've got two examples, which they may sound crazy, but one of my clients years and years ago, believe it or not, and some people don't know where they go. When I do my stuff, I have no clue where it is, but the work works. I do the process for me and the work works. I think my logical mind would interfere too much. So my unconscious mind says, I'm not even telling her where we are.
Yeah, that's right.
But one of my clients, literally, do you know that for anger, and I forget a couple other things, but she went back to a time when she was like 3 years old or something, when she got into trouble because she got her new gumboots, her new yellow gumboots, all covered in mud, and she got into so much trouble from her mom. And so, and as an adult, like now, you would never dream that could be the root. So the root isn't something traumatic necessarily. It's a little right. thing that is the first thing, because your unconscious mind, its job is to keep you alive and safe. And so when you first experience that emotion, so let's say we'll use her as an example, she got into trouble. Unconscious mind says, look, I'll just store that for you. Because you aren't old enough to do anything, right?
Yes.
And so there's the beginning of the chain. And so now something happens, you got that same feeling, and okay, unconscious mind says, okay, I've got some of those here, let me just take that. Until it becomes a problem and there's too much stuff, and now it affects your life. It's not helping you, it's hindering you. Unconscious mind, that's when you get all of this thrown up that you don't want to see, you know, that shows you that you have these issues and you're not happy and all those things. And so that just means it's time to heal. But the root of it isn't what an adult would think. So that's why your logical mind cannot be the source of that information.
Right. That makes sense. Sort of thinking of like, so if this is maybe a very poor example. If I'm walking along and I trip and I bump my knee and it hurts and I think, ow, that really hurt. And what did I trip over? I move that so no one else trips over it. And then I just go on. I forget about the day. If I trip over something that somebody left there that has left it there for a while, and I might not even hurt my knee this time, but I could turn and look at that child's toy, a hammer, a bag of laundry, whatever it is, and just think, I think for me, I know that it's has very little to do with what's actually happening, with the language I use in my head. I'm so tired of, how many times have I, like, it has, the language is so different. It's not a, oh, look, I fell. It's there's a story behind this thing that took literally less than a second.
Right.
It has an attachment. So I think that's how I work that out in my head, that it makes sense that it, and like you said, it's not necessarily a very rational way of being or thinking. The process is usually underdeveloped. I don't know if that's the right word, but immature response, or maybe.
Well, and so all of those are yeses. And what I would say too is, if you were with me, I would want to know, what was the emotion you felt at that time? Was it anger? Was it, you know, whatever it might be, disappointment, like, doesn't matter, because that's all I'm listening for. Now there's a root cause way back somewhere that is the root of why that affected you and maybe not somebody else. It's just an opportunity to show you, uh-oh, there's something I could heal here. Again, that's obviously my take on all of this, but so that's what it shows. If I'm going to respond negatively, and doesn't mean that I'm always like, nothing bothers me, but it doesn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not as big of a deal. It's like, okay, I don't like that. What can I do about it? You go very quickly to reframing it or doing whatever, because the emotion isn't stuck in your body.
Right. And that makes good sense. And so with this, so you have I like it. I've known about NLP and I've experienced NLP. I haven't personally, well, I've studied around it, not actually studied it. Maybe we'll talk about that another day. But I like it. What I like about NLP is that whole reframing, because I find even in my own life, there's times when, and it's not just like, oh, be positive. But somebody will say something, and if I take that on and I take that in and I wear that and I drink it and I bathe in it and I those words just start to make a big whatever, a fear stew or an angry stew or whatever that it is. I know that if I can quickly say, well, hang on, that's just, now that's one way to look at it. Why don't we try to flip that puppy around and see if there's another way to experience that thing? And so when you're talking about teaching, do you teach groups of people, one-on-one, all of
Yes,
it?
all of the above. And again, the only time I don't bring timeline in is when I'm doing my corporate. So all the other elements
Right.
come in, like how the mind works, how that affects your results, linguistically, how to use language purposefully, mental strategies, how to overcome challenges. So all of that is there. The only piece that isn't is timeline. Timeline is I do a 2-day workshop called Design Your Destiny, which has timeline in it. And then, of course, my practitioner and so on.
Wow. Well, I like that. And I can just see, I know too, I have a very, well, I have a few very good friends who have been, practicing NLP and doing things with that for many years. And one has been a friend, a very close friend. He's been a friend of mine for about 25 years. And I have just absorbed so because he challenges me, right? He would say, well, that maybe like if I would use a word, and I can't, I wish I could think of one word right now that it might be. I could even say, he would just challenge me on every word, so that I almost thought, oh, shut up. And but then finally I was like, that's words matter. Words matter.
They
And
really
they
do.
really matter. And so if whether I'm speaking to myself in my mind, out of my mouth, to another person, the way that I say that, I've become more responsible for my words. I've become more aware of my words, how I would say something, and what does that really mean? Because there's so many things. The other thing that I learned just hanging around NLPers is there's a many ways that we speak, just day-to-day language that, if you just go out in mainstream society, the way people speak about things, I hate that. I love that. That freaks me out. I'm just trying to think of things off the top of my head. But words that we use so commonly that if we really boiled that back a little bit, so you hate that? Like hate's a that's a big word. It may be only four letters, but that's and so I had to, like, just things that I would say without giving much thought to them, I've changed that, reframed it, I suppose, and thought, okay, so I hate when such and such or so and so does such and such. Okay, so what is that really? Oh, so when that happens, what actually happens for me is this, and I just don't. It's just, I like what you're saying, and I'm internalizing it right now, just thinking of
Perfect.
different ways in my life that it's actually brought about change for me.
Yeah, it's
It's been,
beautiful.
yeah,
The
I do really
consciousness.
like it. Pardon me?
It's the consciousness. So
Yes.
I really feel that this supports people in being much more conscious. We don't do those things, consciously. They're just the way it is. And
Yes.
so do you want to hear one other little thing about
I want to hear
words?
as many other as you will share.
Okay. Well, because I was just thinking, and you may know this, so it's just so when someone is speaking to you, whatever they're telling you have to go inside your brain and make pictures and you rerun it, right? Because out here, there's nothing. Somebody says something, but I literally have to, I have to run the movie in my mind of their story. And so if it's negative, let's just use negative for lack of looking for a word. So if it's a negative experience, then literally my body, to understand you, goes through that experience. Mm. And so that's another reason, if we care about other people, and if we really know that if I'm going to talk about all my negative experiences and all of those horrible things and horrible people and whatever, if I do that in front of you, I'm compromising your well-being. And I think that's really important. Most people, again, wouldn't think of that. They do it innocently. But do I really want to do that for you? People used to, so an aside, I've had cancer twice. And so, but people wanted me to talk about it. And it's like, no, I don't, I'm not inclined to do that. I don't see a positive purpose. I've got all kinds of other things, right? Do you know what I mean? The doctors even, so yeah. Because of my positive attitude, there was another woman that was like me too, kind of like this happy person. Mm-hmm. And they asked us, they wanted us to get together. So she and I got together and we started a group. And this group, we quit the group because a lot of the women in the group weren't interested in our attitude. They wanted to stay in their negative place and complain and, you know, go through the story and whatever. The doctors wanted us to do it because they saw how different we were and they thought we could really help them.
Right.
But most of them didn't want it.
Right. Because sometimes where we're, where we are is very much like, well, you know, Lynn, as a child, I thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem growing up than it was. You know, I watched a lot of Tarzan, and I think sometimes I'm like, really? I just thought quicksand was going to be this thing. So as a kid, I kind of wandered through life, and if I got a boot stuck in mud or something like that, I would start to panic. I would think, right, I'm doomed. It's quicksand. It's over for me. Tell my mother I love her. Like, I was so yeah, scared about quicksand. Oh, but I digress. But I think a lot of times that's kind of happening. And until we process whatever it is that has to, or even just look at a different thing. You know, it's interesting you're saying, okay, again, off I go. So our dog, Sammy, the one whining at the door, our German Shepherd. So on her fourth birthday, I found lumps and it turned out she had stage 4 lymphoma and she was, you know, we went to, thankfully we had insurance because it's quite expensive to pay for your dog's chemo. But so my husband and I did things very differently. I became afraid I was going to lose her. The doctor said, if she doesn't have chemo, she's probably going to last about 2 weeks. If she does, then maybe 9 to 18 months. And then if it comes back, then she will probably get about half that again when it does. And it will come back in about 9 to 18 months. So that's where I went with that. I stared at her longingly, thinking how she was going to die any moment. And I just couldn't go with it. Dave, my husband, went online and searched till he found one dog that made it. And that's how he did it. He said, stop it. You have to stop this. We Why are we doing anything if there's no hope in this? We can't think there's no hope. That's just what a way to live is that? What a way is that for her to be around us? We're just, we can't do that. Look, read this. And so here was this dog. And so now, we went from 2 weeks to 9 to 18 months. And Samuel will be 10 in September. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of good worry that I could have saved up for something else.
Exactly. But that's what happens. It happens so easily. I mean, and again, that's just the way it is. People tell you those things. I mean, this a friend of mine, her brother, he was diagnosed and they told him that, he should sign an NDA or something, or DNA.
Oh, DNR, okay, DNR. Resuscitate order.
And he said to the doctor, he said, so in other words, you're telling me it's going to be a miracle if I live. And the doctor said, yes. And he said, great. I believe in miracles. That's 5 years ago. And they gave him like a month.
Wow.
We have to be careful what we listen to.
Yes, what we listen and how we let that come in.
Exactly.
Sammy's a good lesson. I'm telling you, our friends are right now going through their dog. They'll be going tomorrow to see this Dr. Herrera. She's on the mainland, the oncologist. She's just amazing. And our friends will be going with their dog tomorrow. And we've been chatting a lot. And I just said, I say this, be a Dave, don't be an Allie, like in how you process this, because it's limitless. We're limitless beings.
Everything's so
limitless. And so I get it. People die of cancer. And a whole bunch of other things, right? There's no shortages of ways to die. And there's no shortages of ways to live.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So again, we're back to this choice thing.
Yeah.
But I think if we do our healing work, we open up way more choices. Right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's my brother, who's very, very near to the end of his life with, he has cancer right now. But man, it was always to him about how he lived, even though his diagnosis was terrible and the prognosis was, and that has all been correct, but it never changed how he did anything. And I was like, I just have things to do, right? Like, so I might have a limit of how long I'm going to be around, but right now I'm alive still.
Yeah.
So I just have to do something with this, however it's going to be. And it's an amazing way. It's quite often though, like the group that you're in, I suppose, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, like, sometimes fear is a little bit too much of a quicksand. Like I can't get out of that. I don't know how to get out of that. Some people,
but some people don't want to. I'm sorry, but that's their journey. So I don't think it's about judging or expecting us all to be the same. The only reason I shared that was because we didn't fit. We started it and we didn't fit. We went off and, did whatever we did. I mean, again, I feel like my life is filled with just amazing experiences that, that's another thing. I mean, I've never set goals. And some of the things that have come to me are like totally amazing. The things I've done in my work and, I kind of look at the world a little bit differently.
You're open. I love that. It feels to me like being open to limitless possibilities.
Honestly, that's exactly what I feel. And not even like I kind of have done that all my life, not knowing any better. I wasn't on a spiritual path or, a personal development path, none of those things. I mean, again, you had asked before, I don't know if you want me to go on to it, but, I got into NLP because I was a sales trainer for Yellow Pages and I wanted to learn NLP so I could help the sales reps you know, increase their revenues. That's why I did it. And then I liked the model. And then I took Master Practitioner, which the company supported. And yeah, it was just, I found it amazing. I've been able to do things with people that people are, they wonder how I can do these things like in corporate and whatever. I mean, I remember with the sales reps having them use a pendulum. Do you use a pendulum? Do you know how people use a pendulum to get yeses and nos? And is this okay?
I understand the thing and it hangs. Someone gave me one. I don't use it. No, I don't use it, but I own, someone gave me one.
Yes. So anyways, it's the ideomotor signals. So again, it's not something, you know, you can look at it scientifically, but yeah, I can remember, you know, having them, I gave them strings with washers at the end, and but it just opens people's minds to something different, you know? And
I'll pull it out. I'm just thinking right now, where did I put that?
Oh, well, then we'll talk later and I'll share with you how to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's great. You know, what I'm thinking now, if it works for you, if you have space, maybe we'll save those stories for our next visit. Does that work for you?
Totally. I'm really fine. Whatever it serves. Yeah, I'm fine. Honestly, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited. Well, first of all, thank you for this. I mean, just limitless possibilities and how much our words really matter. Those are huge, huge nuggets to take away. And I appreciate just all that you shared. And it has me thinking for sure. I'm really
good.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much. And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. And I do look forward to chatting with you all again. We will be back. Lynn will be in another episode. And so tune in and definitely catch her next one. This has just been great. This is Allie. And do remember to find your joy.
Thanks so much for joining me today. If you found a piece of your joy in this episode, I would love to hear about what came up for you so that we can continue to grow the impact of this show. Thanks again. See you soon. And remember, find your joy.